This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:14 and you're listening to Sharmila and Lynn on The Evening Edition. Now we're moving on to a rather sobering story, really. And this comes on the wake of a statement that the Women's Aid organization just put out. And that focuses on the fact that murders of women are often the result of prolonged domestic violence, but there really isn't enough data classifying them as such. These murders are not specifically tracked. They're not necessarily filed under domestic violence cases. And therefore, this leaves gaps in our law and our law enforcement that really need to be addressed.
Yeah, I just want to linger a little bit on that phrase, that's domestic violence that's lasted a long time, because I think the gap of understanding and information available is also about that. It's also about even recognizing, you know, exactly what that phrase covers. So according to a United Nations study in 2018, 58% of female homicide cases recorded globally were committed by intimate partners or family members. And it therefore concluded, and this is something that we've heard echoed ever since, that home is in fact the most dangerous place for women. And if we look at what the laws in Malaysia currently have, the Domestic Violence Act covers physical or emotional injury, forced sexual acts or otherwise, detainment and other forms of domestic violence. It doesn't, however, specify murder. And that lack of specificity leads to, as we're talking about, this lack of information, few official reports and statistics on deaths that have resulted directly from domestic violence.
So what the WAO is calling for is for PDRM to actually track and document these domestic violence murders and to also have clearer and stricter protocols to manage these cases. And they also want the Home Ministry to analyse all of the murder cases in the past years to determine how many were committed by family members or intimate partners. And just to look at the last 1 month alone, there have been two reported incidences that relate to domestic violence. One was a woman in Johor Bahru who was shot dead by her husband while she was asleep. This was in early March. And the couple had been quarrelling. She had asked for a divorce. And then a week later in Sabah, a man slit the throat of his pregnant wife. And these are all cases that, of course, have been classified as murders, but there hasn't actually been enough information available on whether they were also domestic violence cases. So that's the sort of thing that they're talking about here. And to help us make more of a sense of this and to get an idea of why it's so important to have data and statistics on this, we have on the line with us Isabel Chung, who is the Research and Advocacy Officer at the Women's Aid Organization. Isabel, thank you for joining us.
Yes. Hello, Lynn and Sharmila. And hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me on BFM today.
Well, thanks for joining us. Now, let's start with that lack of data, right? What are the estimates of how often murder cases here in Malaysia occur as a result of domestic violence?
That's a really good question. Well, as you've mentioned, that there is definitely a lack of data in Malaysia. We can refer to a key study done by the UN in 2018, which, as you mentioned earlier as well, about just almost 60% of femicides or murders of women globally were committed by intimate partners or family members, which is, you know, a lot. Home is the most dangerous place for women, right? And in Malaysia alone, it's hard to tell how many domestic violence murders there are because we don't track them. But, you know, even in the past week alone, there have been numerous reports of these. And like you mentioned earlier, the woman who was shot in Johor and another woman who had her throat slit by her husband in Tawau, you know, these are the ones that are reported. What about the ones that aren't?
And I think, you know, we've been talking about this idea of these murders sometimes being a result of long-term domestic violence. And perhaps you could also talk to us about how domestic violence escalates over time to a point where it may result in murder.
Okay. Well, first of all, I don't actually think there's a specific pattern to how domestic violence escalates. Yes, it does, but each case is different in its own way. Right. So again, abuse does escalate over time. You know, domestic violence can go on for weeks or months or years, and as violence and the element of control that drives it increases in intensity and frequency, it could ultimately result in murder, both planned and unplanned. However, I feel that I would like to emphasize that the point of us actually asking the Home Ministry to analyze current data on domestic violence murders and in calling the police to track these as well, we're emphasizing the very urgency of domestic violence. We need to take women experiencing abuse seriously, whether or not it ends in death. And we need to better understand the trends behind domestic violence murders to prevent cases from escalating to that point in the future.
So at the moment, Malaysia's Domestic Violence Act doesn't actually specify murder. What is the impact of this, and why is it crucial to classify murder as a form of domestic violence?
Okay, so I think to answer this question, we need to first understand what the Domestic Violence Act is for, right? So the Domestic Violence Act offers protective mechanisms for people experiencing abuse. For those who have been murdered, it's too late lah. So how we can improve the Domestic Violence Act right now is by making it more inclusive. It doesn't protect non-married intimate partners, not even your fiancé or your living partner. So that's, in terms of legislation, that's how we can improve the Domestic Violence Act. However, the second part to answering this question is that classifying murder as a form of domestic violence means that we can analyse the data that comes with it. Given that this link is often overlooked, we don't actually have objective data on how murder and domestic violence are interlinked. And as such, we can't identify patterns, if any, that may lead to this terrible outcome. It's preventable, but how do we do that without fully understanding it?
So how are the police handling cases like this at the moment? And in your opinion, what could be done differently?
So I think for the police, current responses could be improved by accurately tracking repeated reports of domestic violence by survivors. And on top of that, integrating sort of like a safety risk assessment in handling these repeated reports so that they can more quickly identify high risk cases and prevent them from escalating to murder. Again, we do need the police to track domestic violence murders to understand the patterns, where they exist. However, I also would like to, I feel that it's necessary here to emphasize that everybody in our community plays a role, right? It's not just the police, it's the people around you, it's yourself. We all need to treat domestic violence seriously. We need to see it for the harm that it can do and the people that it hurts again and again.
Now, at times we do see murder cases being depicted as quote-unquote crimes of passion in the news, you know, something that happens in the heat of the moment. What is the impact of talking about murder cases in this manner?
Okay, really good question. Crimes of passion are... crimes of passion, that term is quite highly popularized, right? It's not uncommon to see it in the media. There is this element of attempted humanity, or at least that's what I think. The term crimes of passion has this element of attempted humanity. Like, we all get angry or jealous or frustrated with life. And somehow the term crime of passion is this attempt at incorporating forgiveness for the thing that it actually is, violence, inexcusable abuse. Everyone has a right to live a life free from violence, and we should try very hard not to practice language that doesn't emphasize that or deprioritizes that.
So something else that the WAO is calling for the Home Ministry to do is to analyse past murder cases to determine how many were committed by family members or intimate partners. And you've spoken quite a bit about the importance of information in order to really get a handle on this and to look at patterns and the like. But maybe you could also talk to us about this particular step.
Okay, so again, Malaysia doesn't track domestic violence murders, right? What we can refer to as knowing that doing so is important is, for example, large global studies like the UN report. Okay, but it's really important to understand what goes on in Malaysia as well and contextualize the things that happen in Malaysia or contextualize patterns to Malaysia. And as such, like, this will allow us to better understand how domestic violence may result in murder. Again, identifying patterns that may or may not exist, but we do need to know. And it will help us respond better to domestic violence in terms of preventing and managing ongoing cases, right? Like offering aid and support to women that are experiencing repeated abuse. yeah, I'm not sure if that answers your question, but.
No, it does. And in general, Isabel, if someone is suspected to be going through domestic violence, how can we help in the situation?
Well, if it's an emergency, if it's a high emergency, then you could call the police at 999. Alternatively, WHO actually has hotline numbers. Hotline numbers that you can call or WhatsApp. So the landline is 03-3000-8858, and the WhatsApp number is 018-988-8058.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, Isabel.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on.
That was Isabel Chung, Research and Advocacy Officer at Women's Aid Organization. And just those numbers again, if you or someone you know is experiencing abuse, you can call the WAO hotline at 03-3000-8858, or you can SMS or WhatsApp Tina at 018-988-8058. For more information, you can also visit wao.org.my. If you have thoughts that you'd like to share with us, thoughts on any of the stories we've covered today, you can, of course, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up, we have Popcorn Culture, where we will be focusing on the 80s and celebrating movies and television shows from that era. So keep it here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.